Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today. We do invite you to fully participate. You'll find the worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a beautiful day it is here in Nashville, Tennessee, West End United Methodist Church. And I'm so glad to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us this morning. I hope that you feel the presence and spirit of God surrounding you. We would invite you, as you prepare for worship this morning, to prepare the space around you as well, maybe by lighting a candle, bringing a Bible, other visual things that will help you feel the sacredness of this time and this space together. We have, especially if this is your first time worshiping online with us, we invite you to pay attention to the comment section that goes alongside the live stream, where there will be links to different opportunities to participate in worship. Links to the hymns we'll be singing, an opportunity to give and to share prayer concerns and all sorts of ways for you to worship fully and participate with us this morning. One of our moments in worship every Sunday is a passing of the peace, and we invite you to send us a video of yourself or those in your household saying the peace of Christ be with you. We're continually looking for new videos so that members of this congregation and beyond can see one another's faces and greet one another with the peace of Christ. So if you'll make one of those videos, you can email it to Chase Benson. You can find his email address on our website. As many of you know, I shared in our Friday email, our wonderful task force for reopening met this past week, and through prayer and shared conversation, we continue our commitment to reopen for in-person worship when the city of Nashville enters into phase three. So we are doing everything we can to be ready to do that when that happens, and until then, we're exploring new ways of being together, outdoor activities and things like that. So we hope that you'll be paying attention to the announcements in your emails and in worship every Sunday. One of the upcoming opportunities for us to continue in ministry is our children's choirs. And our children's choirs will be happening this fall virtually on Wednesdays from 6 to 6:30. And there will be in that time music and fun and connection. And we ask you to register your children to participate in that in fall choirs. And we look forward to seeing their faces as well. Finally, I am thrilled, as always, to hear God's word through Pastor Stacy this morning. And as she comes to offer a word to us, we want to celebrate that she has been officially welcomed into the Tennessee Conference of the United Methodist Church. She came to us from the South Georgia Conference, and after being in ministry among us for 2 years, our bishops agreed that she could stay. And we are very thrilled about that and are so glad that on her first Sunday as a member of the Tennessee Conference, she is offering God's word to us today. So let us open ourselves to receive this word, to receive the bread at the table. We invite you as we prepare for communion today to get some bread and some juice or wine or water and bring that into your worship space so that you can participate fully in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let us continue our worship together.
We seek an encounter
with our holy God.
God comes among us when we least expect it.
God invites us to wrestle with our questions and doubts.
God richly blesses us and calls us by name.
Let us worship God together.
Let us continue to worship God as we confess our sins, that we may receive the forgiveness made possible through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear this good news, my friends. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And wherever you are, you can pass this peace to those in your circle of love and even to those you've never met before. You can offer the peace on the comment section of our live stream, send a text or an email to a friend, or take some time after this worship service to call someone and wish them the peace of Christ. But now it is my joy to wish to you that the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. Jacob wrestles at Peniel. The same night, he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we
light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. And one Sunday morning, the warm sun came up, and pop, out of the egg came a tiny and very hungry caterpillar. He started to look for some food. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still hungry. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still hungry. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still hungry. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, but he was still hungry. On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still hungry. On Saturday, he ate through one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. That night, he had a stomach ache. The next day was Sunday again. The caterpillar ate through one nice green leaf, and after that, he felt much better. Now, he wasn't hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a big, fat caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon around himself. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out, and he was a beautiful butterfly. I bet in times of your life, you've had stomach aches. I bet in times in your life, you've had struggles and times that weren't so much fun, like this little caterpillar went through. And I also bet that you came to the other side of those really tough times better, just like this caterpillar became a beautiful butterfly. God is with us, just like God was with that little caterpillar the entire time. God loves us and doesn't want to see us struggle, but when we do, hopefully beautiful transformation, just like that butterfly, happens for us. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Gracious God, I thank you for the story of this very hungry caterpillar. I thank you for what it teaches us about who you are and about who you want us to become, God. We know you are always with us in the bad times and in the good. In your name we pray. Amen. Hello, adults. I can vividly imagine the state of mind that Jacob is in when we come to this chapter of Genesis. And I bet that you can imagine it too. Jacob is afraid for his life. He knows he has done wrong by his family, and yet he's told by God that he is to go back to his homeland and to the very brother he ran from when he was afraid for his life. And that night, laying his head down for rest, with all of his family, all of his wealth, everything he loves out on ahead, I'm sure Jacob tossed and turned. Jacob was no stranger to struggle. Jacob knew struggle his entire life, beginning inside his mother Rebekah's womb with his twin Esau, where he fought and he clawed and he literally held the heel of his brother on the way out as he tried to be first. And then later, never quite being his father's favorite, he tricks his hungry brother into giving him his birthright for a bowl of stew. After he tricks his father into giving him Esau's blessing, and at that point, Jacob's struggles start to catch up with him. Hearing Esau's groans of anger, grief, and injustice, Jacob is urged by Rebekah, his mother, to flee. In the part of the Jacob story that we skipped, the trickster himself is tricked, this time by his own uncle, Uncle Laban. Jacob loves Rachel, and he works 7 years to be able to marry her. But because Laban tricks him into marrying Leah first, Jacob must work 7 more years. He matches Laban's trickery with one of his own involving livestock, and as a result, Jacob finds himself on the run once more with his wives, with his children, and all the wealth he and his family could carry. Jacob was no stranger to struggle. Now, some of it he brought on himself with the scheming ambition to get ahead in life. He felt a sort of entitlement and privilege to that which was not his. Jacob was the very definition of scrappy, someone who believed he was wronged by his birth order and then clawed and scraped his way to where he is, not really caring who he hurt in the process, running away, leaving destruction in his wake. Just before chapter 32, we see a tired Jacob on the run. After things seemingly miraculously heal with his father-in-law Laban, another challenge awaits him. This time, Jacob must encounter his brother. This is the same guy, remember, that he cheated twice and ran away from all of those years ago. And Jacob is terrified. He has a choice. He can turn away and never reconcile with his past. He could take all of his animals, his wives, his children in the opposite direction and just settle down in some fertile area. Or he can own up to what he did and to the long-term consequences that his actions had for his brother, and he can try to make it right. He sends word to Esau through messengers of where he's been. He says, "I've got all these gifts to give you," and the messengers come back. Esau, they tell him, has brought 400 men with him. Jacob's mind is reeling. Why would Esau bring that many men if he were not planning to harm or capture Jacob's family? And so Jacob decides to send his family ahead. He splits them up in hopes that if one group gets killed, the other group will be able to survive. He sends along gifts, hoping to bribe his brother Esau. Going to sleep alone that night, he must have had a lot on his mind. I've had a few nights like that, and I bet that you have too. My brain replays the day's events, and every word and every action said and unsaid, done or undone, is scrutinized. I don't know if it's the lack of distraction of daytime activities or the fact that everyone else is asleep and snoring. But nighttime is when all of the worries and anxieties, known and unknown, seem to rear their ugly head. And not just my own personal worries. My mind takes on the world's worries. I wonder what might happen as a result of our collective problems. I worry about leaving an earth that is uninhabitable for our kids. I worry about the future of our country. The future of the United Methodist Church, the future of racial justice. I worry if the steps that we are taking now to stop the virus are enough. I struggle with people who don't think that the disease is real and act as if it's not, gaslighting the rest of us who are trying our hardest to protect ourselves and others. I worry about those who've lost their livelihood because of a problematic economy. Worry about those who've lost businesses, who've had to shutter, some which will never open again. Even more so, I worry about those who are sick, those who have lost their lives, the friends and family that are mourning those loved ones. I worry about what happens when we don't get to get together for the closure that funerals can bring. I worry about doctors and nurses having to make most difficult choices. And I think of the ripple effects of kids not being in school. And then I start to worry about the opposite reality when we do return in person and teachers and kids and support staff get sick. I don't envy the governor. I don't envy a mayor or a school district or anybody for these decisions. Their struggle is real. I don't envy any of you who are parents trying to make the best decision for you or your kids. Your struggle is real. And sometimes, when the struggle is hardest, when the night is seemingly so long that dawn seems as if it will never come, the only thing we have to turn to is prayer. Faced with the anxiety of meeting his brother in what might be a potentially aggressive situation, Jacob stops and he prays. He reminds God of the promise that God made to his family. He acknowledges that God had brought him this far and shares in prayer his deepest fears that Esau may kill him or his family. And with that prayer and those fears on his heart, he attempts to fall asleep by the river. We read in the text that Jacob's struggle is given the form of a wrestler. And whether you read this story literally or figuratively, the struggle Jacob goes through that night is real. A human being fighting God may seem like a recipe for disaster, and yet the text tells us that Jacob prevails. Just as the sun is starting to peek up over the horizon, Jacob gains a position of advantage. And holding his attacker up, he says, "I will not let you go until you give me a blessing." The figure asks Jacob's name and then gives him a new one. Names are important in Scripture, and the naming of Jacob as Israel is symbolic. His original name, Jacob, literally means to supplant or to follow, or literally seizing by the heel. This new name, Israel, means one who has striven with God and people and has won. It is not just a new name for Jacob, it is a new name for the people of God. It is the name for the people of Israel, one of constant striving and wrestling with God and with other people, and the rest of the First Testament will bear witness to their continued struggle as they sin, repent, get back into right relationship with God, only to have it happen all over again. Does it sound familiar? It's our story too. A cycle of struggling, of sinning, of repenting, returning back to God. Jacob's new name, one author suggested, may be better translated scrapper with God. And I can't hear that word scrappy without thinking of the musical Hamilton. Just like Alexander Hamilton, Jacob is scrappy and he's hungry, and that's not where the resemblance ends. Jacob, too, is problematic. He uses his smarts to get out of situations. The scripture attests that Jacob had multiple wives and even has servants. He's amassed great wealth at the cost of others. Jacob is not a good man, and yet God knew who Jacob was and blessed and used Jacob anyway. God knew that Jacob had schemed and tricked others out of what was theirs. So is this the message here, that not one of us is perfect, but even the most imperfect among us can be blessed? Perhaps. But I don't feel good about that. I'm a classic people pleaser. I follow all of the rules. I get frustrated that Jacob, who has tricked and deceived almost every single member of his family and then fled so that he wouldn't get punished, I get mad that that Jacob is now being blessed by God. But good news. Good news for me and any of you who may be struggling when the bad people of the earth get a second chance to make good. God is okay with our wrestling. Even when we wrestle with God, for when we do, we come away with greater understanding and transformed because of our encounter. Our instincts say that we possibly cannot ever wrestle with God, that God's ways are beyond our ways, God is always right, we should never question or argue with God. And yet God shows here in this text, also throughout the Psalms and other sacred writings, that struggling with the way things are is okay. Remember last week, nothing we do can ever separate us from God's love. Not our own questioning, not our own scheming, not our sin. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It was true for Jacob, and it's true for us today. Wrestling with God is literally blessed in this story. 2020 has not been a good year for most of us. The list of what keeps me up at night and struggling with God is long. But I want to tell you that even if no one else acknowledges it, your struggle is real. Whatever you feel right now is valid and real. Like me, you may be on this corona roller coaster of emotions, swinging wildly from, I can handle this, I've got this, to I'm about to collapse under the weight of this worry. For those who are required to work away from home and must balance how to educate their kids and earn an income, the struggle is real. We cannot love and light our way out of this situation or any of our problems. Like Jacob, our sins, corporate and individual, they've caught up with us. Racism continues to disregard life. The environment gasps for breath. Corporate and political greed outweigh the needs of our poorest friends and neighbors. These struggles are real. We as a collective people are far from perfect. And yet, like Jacob, we can be transformed. If we turn to God, acknowledge our dependence on God's character and nature, if we name our fears, and if we struggle with God, we could be transformed, even blessed. We can go on to make amends even with those that we've harmed. Transformation can be painful, just like we learned about with the hungry little caterpillar in the children's moment. And we will not be the same as when we started. We will gain scars that will remind us of the pain that we've inflicted on ourselves and on others. Jacob walks away from the story limping, blessed and transformed. In the reading of Jacob's story and the rest of Genesis, it seems like Jacob may have come away from this encounter changed. Tragedy befalls him and his children, but we don't see any more scheming. He no longer has to flee. God did not give up on Jacob or on God's people, no matter what they did. And God does not give up on us either. God invites us to wrestle and then to see what we can learn from that struggle. In a few moments, we get to come once again to this table, to the ultimate symbol of God working with us to build bridges across sin to a life flourishing with Christ, even building bridges between us and God and each other. I hope that you'll take this time in a few moments to share in the bread and cup, to pray, to leave your sins at the altar, to bring your struggles to a God who loves us enough to hear them all and to handle them all, even when the one we're struggling with is God. In the name of the one who transforms, the name of the one who redeemed us, and the name of the one who sustains us in the struggle. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in our affirmation of faith, a statement of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers in the chat on the live stream or Facebook Live, please do so. If you have confidential prayer requests that you would like to share with our pastoral staff, please send them to us. There should be a link in the chat. You can also follow the link under the contact us section of our website. We pray for those requests every Monday afternoon. This morning, we offer our sympathy to the family of Glenn Stevens Proctor, who died on July 14th. No public services were held. We also mourn the death of Patricia Johnson Alcantara, who passed away on July 29th. A private family service will be held tomorrow, August the 3rd, at Calvary Cemetery. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God who blesses, as we enter into this time of prayer, we bring all of who we are. We bring our greatest joys, our deepest hopes, our struggles and burdens, and even our questions and doubts. We know, O God, that you meet us here. And so in these moments, we ask for your blessing. We know that there are many who are wrestling this day, gracious God. Some are struggling with sorrow. Some are striving for healing. Some are seeking wisdom. Some are grappling with forgiveness. And still others are contending for justice and freedom. Sometimes this wrestling feels like holy work, O God. And sometimes it feels like anything but. Yet whatever the circumstances, whatever the source of our wrestling, we ask for your grace this day. We ask for your presence, for your power, and for your peace where they are needed most, that our world might be transformed by your love. We pray especially this morning for the students who will begin another year of school over the next several weeks. Whether they will be in school buildings or learning at home, we pray for your provision and protection that they might learn in health and safety. We pray for parents at home who are facilitating that learning. And we pray for teachers and professors as they guide their students under conditions that are even more challenging than usual. Grant them wisdom and courage. Grant them creativity and flexibility for the work before them. And we pray for school administrators that they might be guided to make the best decisions for the students, the faculty, the teachers, and the staff under their care. Oh God, sometimes our struggles seem to overwhelm us, and yet we know that you call us by name. You are faithful, and you love us with an everlasting love. Help us also to be faithful to you as we seek to live in that love. It is in Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You may give through our website, or you can text to give. You can also mail a check to the church. We realize that many are suffering financially right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. Then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of those who can wrestle with God and still be held in love, Let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, as the grains that have been scattered across the field are gathered into one loaf, so we who are scattered across the city, across the world, are gathered as one through the power of the Holy Spirit as we share in the breaking of the bread. And as many grapes are gathered together in one cup, we who are many are gathered together in the blood of Christ as one this day. As you have prepared your own tables in your own places of worship this morning, we gather at the one table with this belief as part of our United Methodist tradition that it is an open table and all who are present in this time of worship are invited to Christ's table. So we pray that you feel named and welcomed at the table today. One of our traditions in our congregation as we come forward for communion is to bring an offering from one of the special missions of our church. And August's communion offering is for Habitat for Humanity of Greater Nashville. We're excited to partner again with other United Methodist churches in the Nashville area to build a home with a family. It's something West End has contributed to for the past 16 years, so we've had a part in helping 16 families to find a home. This program truly seeks to walk alongside people, giving them the boost they need to be with their family safely in a home. And as we all in this season stay safer at home, we know the importance of a clean, safe place now more than ever. So we hope as you're able that you'll give through the link that's in the comment section on the live stream. The table is set, and all who come belong to God and are given the bread and the cup. Each one of us here in the sanctuary will receive our elements. And then at the same time as one, I will invite all of us to receive the bread and the cup together. Beloved children of God, this is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the love we have received at this table. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. Amen.
Now this final blessing, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge, love, and struggle with God. and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer be among you and remain with you always. Amen.